This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this session was first published back in the month of March of the year 2017, and it's being put on audio in the month of October of the year 2024. And our subject scripture is taken from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 28, verses 1 and 2. And if you have the scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. It says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Title for our message: Settling for Less Than God's Best. This is part 3 of a 4-part message. Now, when I left off last month, I was beginning to reveal one of the reasons for our being in the position we are in as it pertains to why most of us seem to just take what life gives us and be satisfied with it, because that is all we are ever going to get. Many of us have tried and tried for years to get ahead in this life, just to see our plans crumble into dust. When asked who do they blame for their condition, many will blame another person or group of people. And when they do this, they have someone to target, with their anger. However, as I mentioned last month, the main one or the main person that is to blame for their misery is usually the person themselves. If you look at it like this, nothing can happen to you negatively or positively if God doesn't allow it. That means you can't be blessed if God doesn't put his hand or stamp of approval on it, and you can't be injured, hurt, or otherwise cursed if he doesn't allow it. So then, what determines how he deals with each of us? How we respond to his direction for our lives. Practically every scripture I have given you up to this point relays the idea or the message that those that are obedient to his word, talking about Christ, are on the road to blessing, while those that choose to disregard his word are in line for trouble. That puts the blame squarely on the shoulders of every individual themselves for their own condition, period. When we that name the name of Christ go about looking for someone or group of individuals to blame for our miserable condition, we are disregarding God's word or Christ and putting ourselves in the shoes of the ungodly, because that is always their solution to their problems. And by disregarding his direction, you are opening yourself up for more of the same. It all goes back to Deuteronomy chapter number 28, but this time read from verse 15 on down to the end of the chapter, which is, I think, about verse number 68. Do bad things happen to good people or saints? Of course they do. Just like good things happen to bad people. That is all part of life. The thing is, the person that knows Christ and follows his direction for their lives has far fewer and less severe problems to deal with than does the ungodly. Read Exodus chapter number 8, verses 22 through 24. Bible history and human history bear these facts out. If you read the story of the children of Israel while they were in bondage to Egypt, you will see that when God sent the plagues on Egypt, they, the children of Israel, were isolated from them, or talking about the plagues. In fact, it is totally possible to be in the midst of all hell breaking loose around you and not having it having an effect on you at all. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 2 says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." This is another one of those blessings that God has promised us. If we look at nations in the world today that uphold the standards set forth by God through Jesus Christ, we will see that they are at the top of the list when it comes to power, wealth, prestige, and greatness. Of course, when you are on top, there are those that are below that tend to be all bent out of shape and envious of the ones that are on top, and depending on how far down the ladder they are, they will begin to plot how to tear them, the people that are on top, down. These are usually the ungodly, but a lot of so-called saints fit into that picture as well. Why do they do this? Because they are settling for the easy way of doing things, if you could call it that, to get what they can't get from God because of their disobedience to Him. Earlier, I talked about the devil being behind all that is wrong in this world, and many of you probably would say it is a fairy tale, or the devil is defeated, or that he is bound up somewhere, or he doesn't even exist. Listen, if Jesus talked about him during his time on this earth, and then the apostles, being led by the Holy Spirit, wrote about him in the epistles and in Revelations, and how we have to be vigilant because he seeks to destroy us. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse number 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Then what part of that supports what you have been thinking? Do you know why you think like that? Because the devil likes to remain hidden from view so he can get us to focus on others for our misery. Remember the cartoon about the two guards guarding a castle, and when their backs are turned to each other, a third person hidden from view throws a rock and hits one of them in the head, and that guard thinks that his partner did it. Then when their backs are turned to each other again, the third person does the same thing again to the other guard. With no one in sight, at some point the two get to fighting and end up with one or both of them being injured or dead. That leaves the way for the enemy to just walk right on in with little or no resistance. This happened once again because there was an enemy hidden from sight that orchestrated the entire scenario to get done what he wanted to accomplish. If you can understand that, then you can understand why we are at each other's throats because of the way things are playing out in our lives. Every time something goes wrong in our lives, that is the devil throwing something at us. And since he doesn't exist, or at least is nowhere in sight, we immediately focus on someone else as the cause of our problem. The devil has all types of weapons to throw at us, from lies up to death, and everything in between. for one specific goal, and that is to get us to quit following Christ and thus cutting ourselves off from God's blessings for our lives. Once we do that, then we lose focus on the blesser and start focusing on why things are so bad, and the devil is right there to get us to look at something or someone else as the cause of our problem. We then begin to move into a state of dealing with things by becoming militant against those that we see as our adversaries, or we begin to accept the idea that it must be God's will, and thus accept everything that the devil throws at us as being God's will. I get so tired of hearing saints talking about what is and is not God's will when it comes to everything that leaves a person feeling that there is nothing better for them in life and that they should just learn to live with it. Problem is, the vast majority of us don't want to live with it because we are not built like that. If we can't get something better one way, we will try to get it another. In short, if we can't get what we want from God, we will get it without Him. Once again, this is what the devil wants, because he knows what will happen or what will come next: more misery and even death. As more and more things start going wrong in our lives, we begin to settle into the notion that this is what life is all about, and that there is no need to try to better our lot in life by following God's direction, because that is just the way that it is meant to be. And that is true for those that walk outside of the realm of God's blessing. This is not what God wants for them, but what they have settled for because they don't want to do things His way. Do you think God wants to see us, the human race, and especially His saints, all of which are made in His image, suffering the way that we are? Do you think He likes to see us killing each other? Do you think He likes to see our kids killing each other or dying from drug overdoses and diseases that are usually found in the elderly? Do you think He wants us to just barely make it in this life, being unable to provide for our families because we can't find a job or are too sick to work? Do you think He wants us to settle for destroying ourselves and each other to survive? Read Deuteronomy chapter number 28, verses 1 through 14 again. There is no way God would make all these things available to us, then put limits on what we can have unless we put ourselves in that position. Once again, it falls back on us. You should be asking yourself, when things are going consistently wrong in your life, what am I doing that is allowing the devil to attack me like this? I need to seek God about this. One of the things that we need to be able to do is to recognize when a problem is demonically orchestrated versus when it is just an opportunity for our growth spiritually and mentally. Just as athletes, bodybuilders, military personnel, and others who seek to be the best that they can be have to subject themselves to situations that cause them distress and pain at times, so too do God's people in order to grow in faith. It has been said that unless we have problems in our lives, we would never know that God can solve them. When a problem presents itself, you have several choices to make. You can, depending on what it is, sit back, do nothing, and hope things get better. Or you can try to fix it yourself, or you can call on God and trust Him to fix it. Depending on which choice you make, you will either be heading down the path that will ultimately lead you into a position of just giving up after a long time of trying and failing, or realizing that you are fully funded or supported by God in your endeavors to the point that you will not be afraid to expand your horizons, and as one passage of Scripture urges us to launch out into the deep waters, waters that are filled with new challenges and greater rewards. Ezekiel chapter 47 verses 1 through 14. This passage of Scripture shows us an example of a person on a beach going into the water and continuing to wade out into the deeper waters until they have to swim. If you can't swim, you will stay near the shore where it is safe. Well, if you don't have or know God's promises to you about what is available to you out there in the deep, you will tend to play life safe. You know, take what you believe is the easy way of doing things. You don't want to shake things up. You want to take life, what life offers you, and accept that as God's will for your life. Those that know God and His promises to them are not afraid to challenge the status quo, to go where no man has gone before, to launch out into the deep. Daniel chapter number 11. Verse number 32, the second part says that they shall do exploits. Your reward is not going to be in the safe zone, but rather out in the deep waters. Luke chapter 5, verse number 4 says, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto the Simon, launch out into the deep and let down thy nets for a draught," or blessing and reward. God wants what is best for you, but He is not going to just throw it at you or drop it in your lap. Sometimes you will have to go through a little something, or wait a little longer and leave that comfort zone to get it. God responds to faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith in him and his word in Christ, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God, get this, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The thing is, when all these tests, trials, problems, obstacles, and other things come along that seem to you to be bad luck, which there is no such thing as luck, it is either blessing or cursing, that is your opportunity to show God just how much faith you put in his direction for your life. Philippians chapter 4 verse number 19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. To us, looking at things from the carnal or natural way of thinking, when these problems come our way, we tend to look at what we feel is the right way of dealing with them first. Then, after our way fails, we either give up and settle, or as a last resort, turn to God, if at all. Now, I will possibly be closing this message next month. Well, that's the end of part number 3 for our series. And like I say, I'm going to draw the conclusion up in our final part and give you a little synopsis, I guess, about what this lesson is all about, because it all is part and parcel of what I would consider a major fault that most Christians have today, and that is, we don't understand God. We don't understand our position in life. We don't understand what God has in store for us and how to go about receiving it. And if we don't understand any of that, then we're going to walk around here being just like the ungodly out here, testing and trying things the way that the world does, because we can't seem to get anywhere following God's rules, when in actuality we don't even know what God has to say about situations. Let me go on and close this message. This is Evangelist George McTire closing the message out, saying may God bless you and your families real good until we get together again. For part number 4 of our message on the are you settling for less than God's best? God bless you and good day.